off the ball.
GAA.
I don't think that he could walk into Armagh training on Tuesday night and say, lads, let's get the piggery out here for next weekend.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Here it comes, opportunity, O'Reilly! The League of Ireland is back this Friday night on Off the Ball, whatever the weather.
Can you believe it?
A team of distinction and real big spenders, Derry City host Bohemians after their 4-goal haul last weekend.
An instant response from Derry City.
Can City get off to a good start for a change, or will Bowes get that love and wheeling?
Back pass here, Colin Whelan has scored for Bohemians.
There's sure to be fireworks on Foyle side. Join us on Off the Ball this Friday from 7 p.m. on News Talk or the Goal Out app for live and exclusive commentary of Derry City versus Bohemians.
A beautiful finish.
League of Ireland on Off the Ball.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
Very good evening. This is Wednesday night's Off the Ball. We're on your radio until 10 o'clock tonight. Coming up, we're going to be speaking to Dermot Corrigan of The Athletic from 7:30 to talk about the abuse of Vinicius last night in Lisbon. Benfica against Real Madrid descending into chaos after his celebration and subsequent abuse and alleged racist abuse from a Benfica player last night. The aftermath was just as crazy as well in terms of what was said from the Real Madrid side, but particularly from the Benfica side. Jose Mourinho putting the blame on the shoulders of Vinny Jr., it seems, in terms of his comments on Prime and elsewhere afterwards. So speaking to Dermot about that from 7:30. In the 8 to 9 hour, we've got Stuart Barnes talking England from 8 o'clock, from 8:40. Then we're going to catch up with Cormac Comerford, who represented Ireland this week in the men's slalom at the Winter Games, and he finished in insane conditions, really, a couple of days ago. And then on the football show from 9 to 10, we'll be keeping an eye on all tonight's Champions League action and, of course, Wolves versus Arsenal in the Premier League tonight in the company of Owen Doyle. Our number is 0879 180 180. If you want to send us a WhatsApp message, Cameron Hill is back. Hello, Cameron.
Hello, Owens.
Owen Doyle is the other Owen. Hello, Owen.
How are you, Owen?
Your ears were burning, I'd say, last night, or they would have been if you were paying any sort of attention to the News Round. You would have been kind of reeling from our pancake discussion. You've been describing off air about how you're an expert at creating pancakes and making pancakes, as some people say, and, you know, actually creating a high art form when it comes to these.
Yeah, about 18 months ago, I bought a griddle.
Yes.
Out the back, like, not a barbecue, but a griddle itself. And doesn't know what that is. It's basically a joint frying pan.
And how's that been going for you?
Amazing. So I could do about 20 pancakes in one go. So there's none of this, like, do one of the kids has it, you have to pick which is your favourite kid to give it to first. none of that carry on. I can lash out like 20 at a go and just get them onto the table and let the carnage begin.
How do you control the batter? Does it not just all join up?
No, so I have a couple of stencils.
Ah, perfect. Right.
Actually, when I was in America, I was in Orlando, I think it was last year, the year before, with the kids, and went to Walmart because I knew it was the only place I could get these stencils to bring them home. And yeah, went and got them.
Did you go over especially for that?
No, was the answer to that. We've done the whole Disneyland thing, okay. But there was a strong intention in my mind. I wasn't coming home without them stencils.
Holiday, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Dad of the year. I mean, imagine growing up in a household where you're just having pancakes flung at you on Shrove Tuesday. Mm. That is the dream.
Yeah. There's no shortage of pancakes in our house on Pancake Tuesday.
What else are you doing on the griddle during the year?
All sorts goes down there. Like, go to the Smash Burgers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm literally on it. As long as it's not wet outside or windy, I'm on it. Like, a lot of dinners will be getting cooked on it now.
I presume it was first griddle use of the year?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I had to get a good clean down before the pancakes.
Does it have the grooves on it?
No.
Pancakes come out like
no, completely no. Flat base.
Okay.
Yeah, griddle.
Yeah.
Mm. I'll send you the picture.
Do, please do. So it was a shame that we didn't have you last night for sort of some first person.
I was busy making pancakes.
I think it's a fair excuse. We've been watching a bit of the early game here this evening between Carabag and Newcastle United in the Champions League. And Newcastle United are absolutely smashing Carabag. Anthony Gordon has scored 4 times in this game. And his rate in the Champions League, Owen, I think it's fair to say, is much more impressive than his rate in the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely. I just can't believe that he already had his hat trick. He won a penalty and made sure he was on the penalty to get his fourth. I'm a bit of a fan of that rootless mindset. And there was a few players trying to get it off, and I think Trippier was going to have an award with him, saying, come on, you should probably pass this on. I think Willock was there beside him trying to get on it.
He's just a massive Shells fan, Anthony Gordon. He's getting revenge tonight. Carabag.
But he's But yeah, ruthless. And yeah, he's done very well. 5-1, but it's very convincing.
How do you feel about this week of Champions League action?
Not really, Mike. It's not really pulling me in. I think all the teams you expect to win are going to win. Obviously, there was a bit of commotion last night in the Benfica-Real Madrid game, which is probably the outstanding fixture considering what happened in the actual league phase between the two of them. But yeah, apart from that, like nothing's really dropped me in.
Like you kind of want something to be teed up nicely for the second legs. You suspect that Real Madrid are going to bring Benfica back to the Bernabeu next week and win convincingly. Mm-hmm. I think with a little bit of a added motivation after everything that went down. You'd actually look at the Atalanta versus Borussia Dortmund game. Dortmund winning that 2-0 last night when they have to go to Bergamo next week. That's probably where you expect something to potentially turn around. Juventus could potentially have a dramatic comeback against Galatasaray, but you'd have to say Paris Saint-Germain will get through against AS Monaco being a goal up after last night. So you're just kind of looking to the second legs. I'll happily get on board with this next week when these ties are up in the air and we don't know who's progressing. But the first legs of the playoff round still just had a little bit of a welcome to the Champions League sort of feel to them as opposed to something that's overly meaningful. But we will keep you up to speed with everything that is important that happens tonight. I think the fact that Arsenal are in Premier League action this evening as well probably adds a bit to the footballing evening. You are going to start with football in tonight's news round. Cameron, what have you got?
Well, it's matters closer to home. We're starting with Owen because Sinn Féin TD Joanna Byrne has described an alleged attempt to remove her as chairperson of Drogheda United as profoundly hurtful. Deputy Byrne has claimed that the board of directors at the Premier Division club have asked her to resign following her public statement last week, saying that the Republic of Ireland shouldn't play Israel in the Men's Nations League. Now, Sinn Féin released a statement earlier today. Deputy Byrne pointed out that her position is in line with how Drogheda voted on an FAI motion last November calling on UEFA and FIFA to ban Israeli teams from club and international competitions. Just want to read out a bit of that statement. On Monday morning, it read, I was informed by the board of directors of Drogheda United Football Club that my role as chairperson of the club was no longer tenable with an expectation that I would resign, something I have told them I intend to resist. This unwarranted action was taken after my public statement last week that Ireland should not play Israel in the Nations League. It is profoundly hurtful that expressing a moral view, one shared by the majority of Irish football fans, has led to this approach, despite me never referencing the club at any stage whilst doing so.
So she's been asked to step down, but hasn't done so. So she's still technically in her role?
So it's like a phony war sort of situation where she's been asked to, but she's still listed on the website as co-chairperson alongside the ironically named Ben Boycott.
Yes. So the club is obviously owned by Americans, and maybe you could probably look to that as, I don't know, whatever their reasons are for kind of challenging her position on the board. So Trevela, it's part of a multi-club operation involving a few other clubs as well. So kind of making a lightning round for their own back with this, the club, you'd have to say, by drawing attention to them. There's a bit of a Streisand effect potentially about the ownership group and who actually runs this club when they do something like this.
Yeah, it's obviously, there'd be negativity around multi-club ownership anyway. And there was a lot of negativity around the Trevela group last year when they kind of messed up, or UEFA wouldn't allow the whole multi-club, you can't own two clubs to play in Europe, and Drogheda were the ones that suffered in the end, which is very unfortunate after the season they had before that, winning the FAI Cup and going so strongly. And then obviously last year under Kevin Doherty's leadership, nearly getting Europe again, only missed out on the last day of the season. But this is not a good look for the Trevela group, considering the outlook the Irish people and what Irish football actually thinks has gone on over there, and how they feel about it, and in the conflict over there and in Gaza. So it's this is not good publicity for the Trevela group. Definitely
no,
not.
No, that's for sure. So we'll wait to hear what Drogheda United have to say on the subject. You're moving on to the Champions League then.
Well, UEFA says it is investigating the alleged racial abuse of Real Madrid's Vinicius Junior in the Champions League last night. Their 1-0 win at Benfica was briefly stopped after the forward accused opposition player Gianluca Prestiani of abusing him. Now, the Portuguese club are standing by their player, while manager Jose Mourinho claimed Vinicius has been disrespectful with his goal celebration. His Real teammate Trent Alexander-Arnold was visually shaken when speaking to CBS Sports' Guillaume Biagge after the game.
Vinny's, you know, he's had incidents like this before. He's been subjected to this numerous times throughout his career, so not that he's used to it, but, you know, he's experienced this before. I think he, you know, it's an emotional game. He's gone through something very disappointing tonight, disgraceful to the sport. But he's handled it right. Like I said, we go back home with the win. And you know, we try and see it through to get through to the next round.
You're trying to affect it. I'm not surprised. It's going to take a while to get over this, I think.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Like I said, it's ruined the night. It's a disgrace to the sport. It's a disgrace in society as well. There's no place for it. But no, if incidents like this do happen and does happen, then we can only deal with it the way that we did tonight. Very proud of the team and the club and the squad and how everyone reacted and got around Vinny. You can see, you know, it is something upsetting, it's something disappointing, but we reacted the right way. We kept our heads, we stayed calm, we fought for each other, we defended each other, and we also played very well.
It's quite the turn of events that Jose Mourinho is coming out after the game, questioning how somebody has behaved and being a little bit over the top in terms of their celebrations. It seems that a whole stadium's got very worked up and a whole bunch of players got very worked up by a guy dancing by a corner flag.
Yeah, like Mourinho's comments were outrageous after the match. Paraphrasing here, but basically saying he was asking for it.
Yeah.
Which isn't a good look. And I'd say he has to wake up this morning and fully regretted that. Yeah, it's disgusting though, like, you know, it's disgusting. Some goal, like, hell of a goal.
Unbelievable.
Hell of a talent, like, and, like, Vinicius Junior has probably been one of the most racially abused player to play the game. Like, it's non-stop. It's non-stop. You see pictures of flags getting hung over bridges when Real Madrid are travelling to away games and stuff, and it's all directed towards him. Really disgusting behaviour, uncalled for behaviour. And obviously, like, and then Mourinho coming out and saying that after just fuels the fire as well, which is horrific.
Yeah, the Guillaume Balague piece on BBC today says 8 years at Real Madrid, 20 cases of alleged racist abuse. It's something we'll get into with Dermot Corrigan this hour, but it does kind of seem like there's been a failure to change any sort of behaviour on a multitude of different levels when it comes to this player. Granted, he's playing in a different country last night and it's nothing to do with La Liga, but even as recently as this season, you had a situation with Albacete fans, an Albacete fan throwing a banana onto the pitch when Vinicius was playing for Real Madrid. It just seems like we've had this story over and over and over again, and consistently you do hear this sort of refrain of, well, Vinicius, he rubs people up the wrong way, as if that has anything to do with the nature of what he's actually receiving, which is just blatant racism. I find the Mbappe response yesterday very interesting as well. Like, he was very specific in terms of what he heard from the player, saying that he heard the monkey phrase 5 times. Like, specific word, specific number of times. And Benfica have really kind of set their stall out as, you know, they're lying. They couldn't possibly have heard it. So I don't know what UEFA can do. Your man was covering his mouth when he was saying it. There's going to be no smoking gun and everybody just kind of moves on. And there'll be another, sadly, like, we can be very confident there'll be another incident regarding Vinicius sometime soon. You can be sure of that. So that's the situation there. As I say, more on this with Dermot Corrigan from 7:30 this evening. Cameron?
Well, there are 4 more Champions League ties getting underway this evening, or on offer this evening. Newcastle currently 5-1 up on Karabakh in Baku. Anthony Gordon with 4 of those goals, including 2 penalties in Azerbaijan. That game at 71 minutes on the watch in Azerbaijan. The rest of tonight's matches kick off at 8 o'clock. Olympiacos play host to Bayer Leverkusen. Atletico Madrid head to Club Brugge. And Bodo Glimt take on last year's finalists Inter.
Ooh, we just saw an absolutely brilliant goal there from Newcastle United to go 6-1 up at this stage. So they are coasting home. There's certainly going to be a limited interest in this next week. Talk us through this one, Owen Doyle.
Murphy, I think Murphy's actually playing the right back position. He certainly comes into the game from that position on the pitch. He just carries the ball inside with his left foot. And actually, he takes a strike off about 23, 24 yards out, but takes a heavy deflection. Heavy deflection and just kind of goes in towards the middle of the goal. I think the goalkeeper had already kind of dived to his right. But yeah, it looks like it's gone into top corner. It takes a heavy deflection. The keeper's already on his way and it just bounces into the middle of the goal. Unlucky one for the goal and unlucky for Carabao.
6-1 to Newcastle there. Patrick's been in touch to say Vinicius should have flattened your man and walked off the pitch, followed by his teammates. This racial abuse won't stop until big players and teams take a stand when FIFA and UEFA won't. But the thing about the break for racist abuse, you can only achieve so much in that break. Like, you stop the game, you make a point, but what's actually the point of it? Like, the referee hasn't heard it. There's only so much he's actually going to be able to gather in that those few moments. But what was it, 5 minutes?
Yeah, I'd be a big fan of the players just getting up and walking off and just not coming back out. Just refuse to play on. It'd be an even bigger statement if Real Madrid had done it after being 1-0 up, because you're obviously putting risk of the result. You're risking the result, I should say. But yeah, like, I'd be a big fan of the players taking a proper stand here. Like, it's not like Vinicius Junior isn't lying. He's not lying. Like, you know, he's not coming out and saying something that didn't happen. He didn't have to do that. Like, he's just scored a great goal. He's in a great mood.
Yeah.
He hasn't lied here, you know. So it'd be great. I think it'd be great if someone eventually took a stand like that and just marched off the pitch.
You have one more football story for us, Cameron?
Well, Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta says they're looking into why their players are getting injured in warm-ups this season. It's happened to the Premier League leaders 4 times already, but hasn't stopped them building a 4-point advantage at the top of the table ahead of tonight's trip to strugglers Wolves. Just to run through the team news for that game, 7 changes from the side that beat Wigan comfortably in the FA Cup at the weekend. Bukayo Saka is in the side. He's playing as a number 10, fresh from signing a new 5-year deal with the Gunners last night. He's named in the starting lineup alongside Gabriel Martinelli and Noni Madueke at the top of the pitch. They'll all start behind striker Victor Gyokeres. Now, a viral clip of Arsenal's FA Cup win over Wigan on Sunday showed Arteta's car being swarmed with fans looking for autographs following the game. And Arteta says people have crossed the lines when looking for autographs at certain moments.
I always try to be very respectful. I love to sign and photograph as much as we can. I think it's part of our role. But there are certain things in terms of security that we have to respect. And especially with certain people are doing it that they are not doing it for the right reasons. And we have other examples. The last time my wife was there and what was in the media was totally wrong and unfair, but that's it. I prefer to talk about the incredible other people that comes around genuinely because they want that to have that interaction, and I think everybody knows me how happy I am to do that. But there are moments and contexts that is not the case, and then we need somebody there to protect us as well, because if not, we will get exposed and you cannot move from your car and you don't feel very comfortable there. But that's it. I take it in the chin. That's a matter. Hopefully it will change, because he cannot continue like this.
Did you have security as a footballer on Doyle to stop the adoring fans?
I did, yeah. No. he just got a grip of himself, doesn't he? Like, 10 minutes maybe. Put him out. Remember the video years ago of Guardiola trying to talk down a couple of fans, basically saying to him, you need to get a life, lads. This has to stop. Falling around constantly trying to get autographs off us. That just brought that memory up to me there. But isn't it? If you're a successful person, this type of stuff is going to happen. Just accept it.
This Arsenal lineup is really interesting. So Martinelli, Saka, Madueke, all playing behind Victor Gyokeres.
Surely it's Saka through the middle there, isn't it?
First time in a long time he's played 10. When was the last time Saka played 10?
I've never seen him there. Have you seen him actually play in the 10? I don't remember.
Was he pushed centrally there for England? Or did he always play right? I could be making that up. I feel like we've seen it maybe once before, but it's certainly a rarity.
Yeah, because like in like that position, him on the right, I think, not this season, but up till this season, only Salah is the best at when he's attacking 1v1 at a defender and he cuts inside onto his left foot, you know where that ball is going.
Yeah.
And Saka is just exceptional when he's out on that. On that wing game. I'm looking forward to watching that now and see where he actually pops up on the pitch.
That's it. Well, I think it's actually, if you go up, there's actually a few headlines when you read through the pieces this week that this was possibly in the offing. So he kind of needs to find a rejuvenated Bukayo Saka between now and the end of the season. It probably speaks to an issue that Arteta has at the moment with Saka. Obviously, a wonderful player. Arsenal have invested a lot in his long-term future, as we've seen this week. But his form hasn't been great. Like he has not hit top numbers in recent seasons even, but this season has been particularly disappointing. So it's a bit of a roll of the dice from Arteta.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Madueke has probably surprised us as well with his performances. I don't think the price tag that was over his head when he came in was like, that is unnecessary for someone that's not going to play much. But anytime he's been called upon, he's been excellent. I think he's hit the ground running big time at Arsenal since he signed there. And yeah, no, you understand what you're saying there about Saka. I think Like, if you want Saka to perform, doing it between now and the end of the season, this is it. This is business time. So let's get him going now. And like, he's a big player.
It was a part of Sunday's game against Wigan as well, when you had the Calafiori injury before the game. Saka was temporarily in the 10 jersey as well against Wigan, which seemed like a bit of a sort of a plaster situation. I don't think anybody fully expected that to be the case for their first Premier League game back, but it looks like that will be the situation this weekend or tonight. What have you got next for us, Cameron?
Well, preparations are continuing in the Ireland camp ahead of Saturday's massive Six Nations trip to England. It was reported earlier in the week that there are no fresh injury concerns following last weekend's tight win over Italy. Now, head coach Andy Farrell will name his team tomorrow morning at around 11 o'clock. Unsurprisingly, a lot of the focus this week has been around whether Sam Prendergast will be retained as the starting out half in what will be his first taste of Twickenham, or whether Jack Crowley will be promoted from the bench, from which he made an instant impact against the Azzurri. Assistant coach Johnny Sexton ran the rule over Crowley's 25-minute performance at the Aviva Stadium.
I think the way he came on and attacked the game at the weekend was very impressive. The energy that he brought, and then with that, making good decisions. Like, he wasn't setting anything up, he was getting the ball to the space when it was there in the moment, and so that's a big development for him. I suppose it is the hardest thing to do as a 10, is to, when in international rugby, the difference between a good game and a bad game is when the space is there, you got to go there, because if you set a phase up, it's not going to be there in the next time because teams are too good. And that's the big difference between club rugby and international rugby. So what he did on Saturday was good in that regard, and now he's, if he starts, he'll have to do it from minute one. You know, it can be, I suppose, it can be different from the start. You have to maybe manage the game a bit more. Each time they're, whether they're on the bench or starting, is a different challenge.
We have the first of our possible Ireland 15s for England. The Independent is reporting that Jack Crowley is set to start at out half at Twickenham, joining Jamison Gibson-Park in the half-back. An unchanged back line, so Jamie Osborne at full-back with Robert Balakoon and James Lowe either side of him on the wings, Stuart McCloskey and Gary Ringrose in the midfield. An unchanged, actually no, it's Jeremy Lochman and Dan Sheehan unchanged in the front row, with Tadhg Furlong slipping in. Tadhg Byrne joins the back row, joining Josh van der Fleer and captain Caelan Doris, and Joe McCarthy and James Ryan in the second row. A 6-2 split on the bench is what the Independent are predicting, with Craig Casey and Kieran Frawley covering the backs options. So no Prendergast in the 23 whatsoever.
According to the possible teams, but it looks like Murray Kinsel is going with that in the 42 as well, that Kieran Frawley seems likely to have brought him into consideration at number 23 is what his piece says. It does feel that there's no clarity in terms of the bench just yet in a couple of positions. Now, it looks like one of Izuchukwu or Edwin Adogbo is going to miss out, so it seems there's a decision possibly still to be made there. But Josh van der Fleer being re-promoted to the team, Kieran Frawley back into the 23 are the two big storylines, and also Dan Sheehan holding firm onto his hooker jersey as well, because I think the Kelleher needs to start momentum had been gathering over the past couple of days.
Yeah, that's a bit of a surprise. I think one thing that struck me from Saturday, and it wasn't really talked about because there were 78 more minutes of rugby to play and there were a few other talking points, but I found the Sheehan jump. Remember the tap and go just before the Italy line and Ireland's first attack, and he decided to do the same sort of leap he did against Australia on the Lions. I thought that was such a mad decision for a player to make, given you just about got away with it in a Lions game where the rules kind of don't apply quite as stringently as maybe a Six Nations match. I thought that was so bizarre. Like, we talk about maybe Prendergast trying to force a couple of things in the first two games. That struck me as a player who's maybe trying to force something as well, and Sheehan, who's obviously scores so many tries for Ireland, but I just found it very odd 2 minutes into a game that you try that.
I think there's also a probably credit in the bank situation here with Sheehan, because we asked Andy last week, you know, who's actually safe in this Ireland team after the France game. Sheehan was the first name that he said, maybe Doris was the second name, and it kind of feels even this week Sheehan wasn't safe. So I think he's probably gone from a place where he is safe as houses to, you know, if he has a consistent run of poor performances, it's probably going to be Kelleher jumped up, especially if the scrum continues to struggle against England this weekend. So fascinating. Obviously, Crowley getting promoted to 10. That would ordinarily be the big news from any suggested team on the eve of an official team announcement. But it was so inevitable that it was Crowley that was going to start. But it looks like they've gone the extra step and dropped Sam Prendergast from the squad entirely, with Kieran Frawley wearing the 23 jersey. But all will be confirmed tomorrow morning. What's next?
We'll just run through a couple of the other stories from today. Owen, Ukrainian officials won't attend the upcoming Winter Paralympics after the ban on Russian athletes was lifted. They'll be allowed to compete under their national flag for the first time since 2016. Organisers have granted wildcard places to six skiers and snowboarders ahead of the Games in Milan Cortina. In the Winter Olympics today, Ireland's Annabelle Zerbe has described her Winter Olympics debut as insanely amazing. She finished 48th in the women's slalom at Milano Cortina today, the 17-year-old. The USA's Michaela Schifrin came out on top, finishing in 1 minute 39.1 seconds for her third Olympic gold. And Norway's Johannes Husflos Klæbo claimed his fifth gold of the Games in the men's team sprint. That brings his overall goals tally to 10 overall. He's second in the all-time Olympic gold medals table across both the Winter and Summer Games, behind only American swimmer Michael Phelps, who's on 23.
He is absolutely outrageous. Owen, I know you're not a massive Winter Olympics fan. I was watching earlier on, and look, I don't know a whole pile about some winter sports. I'll preface everything I'm about to say with that. You know, I'll always remember the first time a number of years ago when I was first introduced to biathlon. And obviously when they produce a gun, you're like, oh my God, this is one of the greatest sports ever. There's a randomness.
I've seen it.
Yeah, it's a fantastic sport.
Is that the one where you run up the hill?
Yes.
That looks like the hardest thing ever.
Absolutely.
Like running up a hill on just runners is hard.
But one
with skis.
I found a new sport today that I didn't know existed. I was watching with sound off. So I was only getting the visual, and it was like cross-country skiing. It was women's cross-country skiing. And I was like, oh my God, there's dogs in the sport. Oh my God, there are dogs. Have you seen this?
Oh.
So I was like, I wonder, huskies. Like little huskies. Czechoslovakian wolfhound, I think, was the specific species of dog that I was looking at. I was like, oh my God, which athlete is the dog with? He gave an Argentinian skier a sniff and then ran away. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool.
What did a dog
And then I went on.
Fetching things.
So I went... So I went online then.
Well, gives and like I, a bit of a cheat here.
And I looked at the headlines and I was like, dog sneaks onto course.
No way.
Dog sneaks onto course. Internet reacts. But the thing that really got me was that, and I mean, applause has to go to the director here, because, you know, say in like the Grand National where it goes to like a photo finish or in any track event and you can kind of see like the side profile in this 2D image. They actually brought up the 2D image of the dog running out over the finish line. So I had this thing on mute and I was like, oh God, he got his nose there in front of the Norwegian ski. Here. Fair play to the lad.
How's that not a story? You won a gold medal.
Unbelievable. So, I've been fooled once again. My lack of knowledge of winter sports has come back to bite me. One more story, Cameron, if you have it.
Yeah, we'll finish with this one. Josh Rock claims his Premier League defeat to Michael Van Gerwen last week was due to the soap he used in the bathroom before going on stage. The 24-year-old was seen wiping his hands on his trousers multiple times and licking his fingers during that quarterfinal defeat in Antwerp. I went to the toilet just before I went on stage, he said, and obviously you wash your hands after going to the toilet. So I put the soap all over my hands, and the next minute I'm up there and I was like, this isn't going well. I could just not feel it at all. So now we've got a plan B. I've got a bit of chalk and wax in the case from now on. This was the first time it's happened. It must just be whatever soap was in the toilet in Antwerp that I used. And it just obviously took all the oils out of my finger and lost all grip.
Excuses, Owen, or do you have sympathy for the lad?
I'm just trying to figure out like the wax that he has. Would that not make it too sticky? Throwing it there then?
I presume so.
He just fails to release.
Yeah, look, you just... One of them is not leaving your hand.
Yeah, it's a.
Did you throw it?
It's a seismic difference to your capabilities of throwing, the amount of lubrication on your hand, I'd imagine, or otherwise. So,
good to know, Josh.
Washes
his hands.
The golf
sports,
down to the 1%.
That's not a 1%. That's a good 50% of a change, I'd imagine, for an athlete like Josh Rock. Listen, it is 1-6 at the moment in Azerbaijan. Karabakh 1, Newcastle 6. 87 minutes on the clock. We're going to keep you up to speed on everything that happens tonight in the Champions League. Three more fixtures kicking off at 8 p.m. And of course, we've got Wolves versus Arsenal in the Premier League as well. Cameron Hill, thank you very much for tonight's news round. Owen Doyle's going to be back with us for the football show after 9 o'clock.
The News Round on Off the Ball.